happy, happy, happy Thursday. Are you happy out there? Those of you who are listening, my name is Linda Sims. The name of the show is called A Voice of a People. This is WGH Talk, and we also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Or you can download a free app called TuneIn on any electronic device, iPhones, cell phones, laptops, or computers, and search WWGH. Now, I tried to type in TuneIn, and also typed in WWGH at the same time. I just don't remember the results of that. But I guess if you type in TuneIn, download the app on any electronic device, and usually by the microphone, not microphone, but what is that? Micro. Never mind. I can't even think of what you call it.
Microphone?
No, it's a. Not a microphone. I'll think of it later, but anyway. Types in your search area, please type in WWGH. Sorry for the delay in my expert advice to you. But anyway, if you want to call in, you have any questions, like to make any remarks, please call 740-383-9944.
Yes.
Please do. 740-383-9944. You don't have to give your name if you don't want to. Just present your question, okay? Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People. Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC of 1325 North Main Street of Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-382-8552. We have Shirley. She is the coordinator of Child Evangelism Fellowship, known as the Good News Clubs, in Marion and Union counties. They are in every elementary school in Marion, Ohio, and I think all the county schools in Marion County and all the schools in Union County. Her phone number is 740-262-0939. Also, they will be sponsoring a silent auction March the 4th at Cornerstone Alliance Church. The doors open up at 10:30. So if you are into silent auctions, please note your calendars, tell your friends, and hopefully we will see you there. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street in Marion, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement, no free produce until April the 15th of 2023. No free produce until April the 15th of 2023. My thought for today is titled Silence. It goes like this. Silence calms your heart. It is a balm, like medicine, that heals the wounds of the soul. It strengthens the spirit and takes you to a world without sound where peace reigns. Who needs their spirits strengthened? I need mine strengthened.
Me too.
Who needs their wounds of their soul healed? I think we all can say there are some wounds that we need healed. So not only silence calms your heart, but also the Word of God calms your heart. And it is also a balm. That is the balm in Gilead, the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It comes to heal, deliver, and set free.
You know, that guy that was on Billy Graham that sang all the time, had that low voice. What was his name? He's always singing about the balm in Gilead.
Was it Mike Purdy, was it? No. Okay.
I'd recognize his name if I heard it.
You said it with Billy Graham, though, didn't you?
He sang with Billy Graham.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't remember that. My guest today is Jeff Porter, author of Expressions of the Last Days. We did get a comment or question or remark towards what we were talking about last hour, the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
And there is a response to that, and Jeff is going to talk about that. Jeff was saying that the Vietnam War was lost because the United States didn't go in there full force.
That's right.
And what I've received is Vietnam half strength, ? We had 500,000 troops over there at the height of the Vietnam War.
Right. Towards the end. And Nixon kept talking this stuff about, you know, peace with honor. And I say we should have gone in there. We shouldn't have been any peace. Should have went in there and just kicked their hiney. You know, had it kicked clear up to Cambodia and then gave it up because of the demonstrations, you know, the opposition to doing that. And I think we should have finished the job right there. General Westmoreland was more than happy to bomb Cambodia off the map if he needed to win that war. And they wimped out and let the North Viet Cong come right back down. We had what was known as the Tet Offensive. And the war just dragged on after that. Just kept on dragging on and dragging on. And the American people just said, enough is enough of this. Enough's enough of the demonstrations. Enough's enough of the rioting and death and everything. And we want America out of Vietnam now. And so Nixon finally gave in and said, okay, they're coming out. You know, and he gave a date. I don't remember what it was, but yes, we had that many troops in there towards the end. Now, another problem is that the North Viet Cong, we gave them time to dig these big tunnels underneath the jungles, and they used those for storing their weapons and ammunition and protecting themselves. And so America made a lot of huge mistakes during the Vietnam. I don't think Vietnam was really that necessary, you know. But they apparently thought it was. President Kennedy, when Vietnam first started, he sent in advisors. And that wasn't doing much good, so finally started sending in troops little by little. Then he was assassinated, and then President Johnson started sending in big-time troops. And it just kept escalating. But the U.S. just didn't go in there with their heart in it, you know. Let's win this. Let's get it over with. And so that's why it kept escalating until it was probably around 500,000 troops there.
At the end. But at the beginning, they sent in, you said, approximately like 25,000 troops at the
beginning. Starting out. And they just weren't that effective.
I guess not. Like you said, the morale of the soldiers was down anyway.
Yeah. They just didn't think it was our war.
Oh, so they half-heartedly fought.
Yeah.
Wow. What a way to go into a war.
There's no way to fight a war.
No. It's not even a fight.
No.
You're going to fight, let's fight, right?
Right. You know, I had a friend of mine say, you don't want to get into a fight with somebody that's afraid of you.
My mother used to tell me that, yes.
Because you get them in a corner, you're going to have a problem.
Oh, yeah, because they're fighting for their life.
Yeah.
You just playing. Oh, boy. I tell you, well, Jeff, he did address that response. But call in.
Yeah, we could go more into it if you call in.
740-383-9944. Oh, my.
Getting hostile.
Okay, I'm going to go with, what does the abomination desolation mean in Mark 13?
Okay, we were talking about the Antichrist?
Yes, we're talking about Mark 13. I was in King James Version. Is this the end? They have some more. Let's try the new King James Version. Okay, we'll try that. See how that. Okay. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. That's another. This is still Mark 13.
Yeah, and he's saying, you know, things are urgent.
So you're not going to be able to nurse your child or...
Well, it won't be much fun.
Or pregnant while you'll be running for your life, yeah. Right?
Right.
And pray that your flight may not be in winter.
Yeah.
For in those days there will be tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the creation which God created until this time, nor ever shall be.
Yes. Isn't that amazing?
So what we're going through now, or think we're going through, is nothing compared to what is to come. Like I said, you know, we're still pretty comfortable.
Yeah. You know, and I hear from pastors and preachers and stuff that people are having major anxiety problems right now with just the threats that we have in the world right now. You ain't seen nothing yet. The world's about to make a major change. Like I said, we are closing in on the debt ceiling, and the president doesn't want to raise the debt ceiling, so we'll see what happens with that. It doesn't sound good.
But I think that's a good stance that he took. If they want it raised, they'll vote for it.
Yeah, that's true.
And he won't take all the blame.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's a good stance. Okay, one for Biden today, right? Okay, now.
You say so.
And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. What does that mean, Jeff?
He shortened the tribulation. It's not quite as long as it was going to be,
mm-hmm.
You know, so that some could survive.
That's even one. The elect, even those he chose, because yeah. If he did not, even them would not be saved.
Right.
Wow.
That's to show you how bad it's going to be.
Right. Wow.
And, you know, there's a couple of tricks that Satan's tried to pull on us, like trying to make us think that... like, for instance, the prosperity message kept saying, when you get saved and you start down the road to salvation, everything's just going to be rosy and wonderful, and there's no such thing as opposition and all that stuff. And that is just to make Christians think that, you know, they don't have to learn anything, they don't have to get any stronger, and that's just a plain lie. You know.
That is. So we need our strength.
Yes.
We need that balm to help keep us strong. We really do. And that is the Word of God. That's what we're dealing with. And thank God that He has left us that. Okay. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, He is there, do not believe it.
Yes.
It's a lie. Do not believe it. Why?
Look, he's in the desert. Look, he's over there, under that tree over there. it's just to deceive you, and there are times when there is somebody there. It's not Christ.
Right.
But there's somebody there, so he wants you to follow a fake Christ.
Right. Right. And be lost. And be lost. See, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. They think that the church is out to demonize people that are not saved. And that is not the mission of the church. That is not the mission of believers in Christ Jesus. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ, and that mind of Christ is that none would be lost. We're out here sharing these facts with you because we hope that it would touch your heart and touch your mind, and you would accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior from sin. Because, see, these things are coming on the earth, whether we believe it or not, whether we want it to happen or not. We can't pick the day nor the hour. The scriptures right. tell us the day that you think not, the Son of Man cometh.
No man knows the day or the hour.
No, we just do not know those things. But he says, be what? Be ready.
Yes.
Be ready. And how do you do that? First of all.
Well, first of all, you have to, the first major thing you need to do is if you're not born again, you need to get saved. You need to be born again. How do you do that? Romans chapter 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And it's really that simple. You don't have to make it into any kind of complicated thing. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. I had a relative that argued with me, I don't know for how long, one day, and said, what does that mean, born again? And I tried to explain it to her about 15 different ways, and finally I just gave up. I said, well, you just believe what you want to believe, but you must, your heart must be converted towards Christ, is what it means. Born into sin, must be born again of the Spirit. And there's just nothing more to it than that. People want to make more into it because they don't want to believe that they've sinned. You know.
Right. After it says, for false Christ and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the very elect.
Yes.
Those whom Christ has chosen. That's what he says. I chose them. But take heed, see, I have told you all things beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So, those of you who are listening and you are caught naked when Christ comes back, that means you're not covered by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You can't say, I didn't know, I didn't hear, because you hear. And you have heard about these things. And that's why he's telling us these things. Leave us with no excuse.
And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So, the gospel, by the time they hear it, they've already heard it before. So when Jesus comes back and catches people in their worst sins, they've already been warned.
Right, and they had time.
Yes.
To repent and
right.
turn to Christ. They had time.
They had plenty of time.
You're making sure that people
look at
have
all
time.
The time. Look, I remember looking back years ago when the weather started getting really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And things just kept getting worse and worse, and we kept having wars and all that. It's because slowly but surely, very slowly, the judgment of God was turning. It turns
right.
really slow, but it does turn.
Yes, yes. Because he's long-suffering with us. He don't want
yes.
people to perish.
Right.
They don't get it.
Right.
Like they got forever. I'll wait till my last day at breath, and then I'll receive Christ. But it better be a heartfelt turn. You better believe that.
Yeah, if you're going to get run over by a truck, let's hope it's a slow truck.
Yeah, unexpectedly. And you have a couple seconds. Oh, Lord, I receive my spirit.
Bam! Yeah.
Oh, God. The coming of the Son of Man. Is Christ to return? He says he is.
Yep.
And it says in this verse, Mark 15:24, but in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. the stars of heaven will fail, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken.
Yes.
What powers are in the heavens?
I know it says that the stars shall fall and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Probably whatever power the stars put out, I don't know, or angels. I really don't know.
That's what I heard the stars was.
Angels?
And I don't, yeah. And I don't know how true that is.
I don't know, but if there's any powers out there, they'll be shaken.
We'll have to dig into that a little deeper.
Yeah.
Yes. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect, whom he chose from the four winds, from the farthest part of earth to the farthest part of heaven. Now, the sequence, even in the coming of Christ, is saying, after all these things, this is what he's going to do. This is after the tribulation. This is also in Mark.
Yeah. Where are you at, Matthew?
No, I'm still in Mark.
Oh, okay.
Mark 12. But even Matthew says, immediately after the tribulation, this is what's going to happen. So Mark has agreed with him. So where does the pre-trib come from?
Well, it comes from God, of course.
Pre-tribulation?
Yeah. Of course. It's a warning.
Okay. Okay, but, you know, they say that the church will be raptured. That's what I'm talking about. The pre-trib rapture.
Well, I'm very skeptical of the pre-tribulation rapture because of the scriptures that they used seem to me to be very vague. And the attitude that people have, especially in America, is that, you know, we don't have to suffer. We don't have to go through the tribulation because...
Well, according to this, we're going to. Because it talks about the signs of the times and the end of the age, right?
Right.
And I read those scriptures, 1 through 13, and then it says the Great Tribulation, that is 14, verse 14 through 23. Then it says the coming of the Son of Man. Then it talks about how he is going to have his angels gather those he has chosen.
Yes.
And this is after all these things. He leaves us a parable, the parable of the fig tree. Now, learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near, at the very doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that, well, before I go there, what generation is he talking about? This generation will by no means pass away until all these things take place. Now, there's been many, many generations since Christ.
I know, and there's been a lot of controversy about that statement. So, that's another one where I'm not sure.
Yeah, because we are a generation, and we have heard these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
About the Christ coming back. So, if he doesn't, and I know the generations before us have heard it, and before them have heard it, so we just do not know which generation he's talking about.
It may be the one that starts experiencing the tribulation.
Oh, okay.
That's what I think, but...
In a way, we all have experienced some of the tribulation. Maybe not at the height of it,
not
but...
Not the great tribulation.
Right, right. Okay, right. When the Antichrist is on the scene. Okay, I got it. Okay. It says, no one knows the day or hour, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest come suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. So God is saying,
stay awake.
Yes, stay awake. Don't take what he's saying for granted, like you got a whole lot of time.
Because we don't.
Wow, that was powerful. Mark 13, that was powerful. Goodness. Parable. For the end time. Now, how does that correlate with Matthew 24?
Well, Matthew 24 basically says the same thing. It may add or take away a couple of things.
Right. Yeah.
They all do.
Right.
I gotta be back in a minute.
Okay. So I can read Matthew 24 until Jeff comes back. Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumor of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. And like I explained last time, that's places that you really don't expect these things to happen. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now he's talking about the people that he have chosen. They will be hated by all nations for his name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And I think that's what we're experiencing in our time today. Crime is so high. And that shows that people's love has grown cold. You know, we have kids killing adults, shooting teachers. And that's like, what, the 6-year-old shot his teacher? That's like really young. What would a 6-year-old know about a gun, or how to go about getting a gun, or even operating a gun? You have adults that have never even shot a gun before. Oh, my. Does that boggle your mind to think about such a thing to happen? And it happened, you know. Mass shootings, no love for people, no empathy for people, no care. And is this a mental health issue? Should we consider having more and more mental institutions for people? Is that going to be the answer? Because certainly prison is not. That's been proven over the years, centuries. And the more people you pack in there, the less people you're able to even deal with. Not just deal with, but help in a way that, you know, they may think or not think about coming out and creating the same crimes over and over. And there are people who, there are different levels of crime. And then a lot of times they come out and do harder crimes or harder drugs. It's like, is that the conditioning that people are receiving in prison to come out here and be harder criminals, worse than they were before? God forbid. What is the answer? Do we have an answer? Are we trying to find an answer? Or are we just trying to tuck away the problems that we're facing? And I understand that man is not God. understand that quite well, because I know that I'm not, even though I am a believer in Christ Jesus, but I'm not God. You know, and I don't know the answer to these problems or circumstances that we're dealing with. But prayer can be an answer if all of us would come together and pray, whether we're face to face or not. We need to take a piece of paper and just write down the conditions of the world and write down people who you know need God. They need a change in their life. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means a person in right standing with Christ Jesus. They can get prayers through. And I know there's many of you out there who are listening that are in right standing with Christ Jesus. And you can make a list today of conditions and things and people that need a change, a turnaround, that need God in their life. And those, you know, how God uses our prayers to accomplish things is far beyond my imagination. But He can and He does. It's like I was reading this morning about the unrighteous ruler and the woman who came to him every day and was saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he told her to go away, but she kept coming back. She was persistent, you know. And that's what God needs us to be, persistent in our prayers. Be persistent, you know. Don't take no for an answer, but just be persistent. Just keep what they call digging away at it. Just digging away, you know. And God will change things. He will move mightily by His Spirit and change things. One thing I tell people, do not tell me what my God can and will not do. Because that is not in us to be able to say, well, God can't do that. God asks you the question, is there anything too hard for me, God says? Can you think of something that He cannot do? Well, one thing He cannot do is lie. God cannot lie. Nor can He change your free will. He has given us free will. So, and we still have that. How we use it is totally up to us as people. Okay, let me see. Okay, I think I'm on Matthew 24. Okay, we're talking about the love of many growing cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Has that been done? And I hear people say, no, it hasn't reached to the farthest places or remote places of the world yet. Or do we have proof of that? Or has that taken place? You think with social media and Bibles and missionaries going all over the world, are there places that have not received the gospel? Don't know. Don't know. The Great Tribulation. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, and that's supposed to be the Antichrist, and God says, whoever reads, let him understand. Because he is supposed to sit in the holy place and call himself God. And people will fall down and worship him and believe that he is God on the earth. It said, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, let him who is in the housetop. This is before Mark, but Mark picks up from Matthew. On the housetop, not go down to take anything out of his house, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. And woe to those who are pregnant and are nursing babies. And pray not that your flight be in the winter or on the Sabbath. So, day of worship. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, the ones that God has chosen, those days will be shortened. And again, If anyone says to you, look, here is Christ, there is Christ, do not believe it. Do not go to see. I wanted to look up that verse that Christ says. Oh, here it is. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out, or look, he is in the inner room, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. That means that the heavens will scroll apart, left and right, and the Son of Man will be coming down with power and great glory. How many of you are excited about seeing Jesus face to face in peace? Oh, I mean, it just excites my spirit to think that one day I will see him face to face. And I pray that it will be in peace, because, you know, he is coming back for his people. He loves you so, so much that he's coming back for you. Oh, my, does he love you? Oh, how he loves me. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be, riding on that white horse, woo, and his vesture dipped in blood. He's coming for his people, Jeff.
Yes.
Yes, he is. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Like I said, someone was telling me all those stars represent an angel. Whether a good angel or a bad angel, I do not know. So, a lot of this is repetitive, so I won't...
those chapters reflect each other.
Right, and it does say this, though. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And then there's one more. The faithful servant and the evil servant. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware, and will cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh my.
Yeah.
That's what God is saying right now. Those who are saying, the Lord's been saying he's been coming for a long time. He's not coming, right? I don't believe he's coming anymore. What do you think about that, Jack?
Now, the Lord takes a long time to do things a lot of times, you know. But that doesn't mean he's not going to do it. Not at all.
Yeah.
That's why Noah's generation was caught off guard.
Woo.
You know, as of the days of Noah, so shall it be in the last days.
Procrastination. So, people will still be doing that then. Yeah.
They're doing it now.
Yes.
They've completely forgotten God. It says, you know, people go to church and then they go home and they become atheists. They go out and just act like there's no God, you know. And that is not a good thing to be doing. because eventually you're going to hit a brick wall doing that.
That's true. Wow.
Not just in the fact that Jesus is coming, but in your personal life too, you know. Eventually right. You're going to experience an unwanted pregnancy or get involved in drugs or alcohol. Who knows what? Car accident.
Thinking that you have a lot of time, right?
That's right. Nobody has a lot of time.
No, because
this world's only temporary any way you look at it.
Right.
I don't care what religion you believe in or what philosophy you walk with or, you know, you teach philosophy at OSU or something. That day arrives, you know, when you have no more time left on this earth. And it's not a real long time. You know, if you realize it, if you're a real good philosopher, you realize that no matter what you believe, you're going to die someday.
Right, right. And even if you could live 200 years, which we don't, there are people who have lived 100 years plus, but that's nothing.
That's back in the Old Testament.
Yeah, 900 years, like yeah. Methuselah and Adam lived 930 years, and you know, Noah was 500 years old before he even had any children, so that's not our time today.
No.
That's not reality for us, so if you do live 100 years.
Well, Noah still died.
Yeah, he did.
So did Lazarus.
Right.
Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead. He still died.
He still died. He sure did. Because it is appointed unto man what?
That is appointed once in a minute to die, then the judgment.
Then the judgment.
So.
Well, Jeff, I've had a good time with you today talking about what is to come and talking about the war. And thank you for your remark. Get in touch with us anytime we're on the air if you have something to say. Whether you call in or not, we just thank you for your participation in the program today. So, thank you once again. So, we're narrowing down to the last few minutes. Jeff, is there something you want to say to our listeners today?
Well, God in His richness loves us. That is His most important message to us. And if you haven't ever accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you see some of the stuff we were talking about tonight is disturbing you, and that's good. That's really good, because you need to let something disturb you so that you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So won't you pray this prayer with me real quick? Lord Jesus, Son of God,
come into my heart.
Forgive me of my sins.
I
want to be born again. I want to walk with you in heaven.
In the streets of gold.
And be with you forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Wow. The streets are paved with gold, and there's 12 gates to that city.
Yes.
And they're all jewels and pearls and diamonds and rubies. Each gate represent a precious jewel. Wow. And the streets would be paved with gold, but it would look like a sea.
Mm-hmm.
Like clear. Can you imagine? Oh, wow.
No, I can't.
What God has in store for His people. Wow. 1,500 square feet, right? 1,500 square feet. The new city, the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven.
Oh, yeah.
No, we don't know what it's going to be like, but it's going to be better than where we are today.
That's true.
No more crying, no more dying, no more worries, no more sickness, no more death. Woo!
What misunderstandings.
Misunderstandings. Right, no more fighting, no more wars or rumors of wars, right? Great time. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims live today on WGH Talk. I thank my guest, Jeff Porter. Thank you for sharing your time with us today and your many prayers that you have lifted up to our listeners. And Thank you. Hopefully this is not your last time. And please stay tuned in to our program. We appreciate you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From legendary